Before I get into my message, I want to just share a little bit of a story that a co-worker shared with me coming out of Russia. Whether it was back behind the Iron Curtain, the USSR, or Russia now, I don't know. But anyway, this is the story, and I'm going to try to get it as close as the way he told me. Story is about a professor in a university, if that's what they call it there. And every beginning of each class or year, that I don't know, but in any case, he would challenge the students with a very fragile tumbler, and he would hold it, and he says, if there is a God, this tumbler will not break. And if there is no God, it'll break. And then he proceeded to drop the tumbler, which shattered into a million pieces every time. So one day he knew or heard about a believer, a Christian that was in his class, so he challenged the believer. If you're so sure of your God, you will come up and pray in front of the class, and you will pray against that this glass will not break if your God is real. So the student accepted the challenge, went up in front of the class, and started praying, bowed his head and started praying, and he said, Lord, if it be your will, you will not let that tumbler break. But if it breaks, you will kill the professor. So the professor put the glass down on his desk and pushed it away. That's how you pray with wisdom for your enemies. Apparently it's a true story, but I've heard different versions of it, but it's a good story. This is how if you come in contact with people like that, that's what you do. We're going to see how actually they don't believe in God. All of a sudden he was afraid of what might happen. He didn't want to accept that challenge. Anyway, before I get into my message, I'm going to ask you to rise and we'll ask the Lord for his blessings. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your grace again this morning. Lord, by your grace, the sun came up again this morning. We are taking our next breath, and that's what we could tell anybody who doesn't believe in you, that their next breath consists of you giving it to them. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have allowed us to breathe freely, clean, knowing that this is from you, life is from you, whether we acknowledge it or not. But we acknowledge you, Lord. We know that you are the one who gives us life and gives us life more abundant. Thank you, Jesus, for everyone here. You will bless them all immensely. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to start off my message with a finish off scripture of my last week's message. And it's a very good scripture. It sort of just puts the stamp on it. John 5, verse 24 out of the King James Version. Very, very good scripture. It's not my message, but I always like to continue what I finished off with just to go into my actual message. It says, truly, truly, I say unto you, and again, this is Jesus speaking. If you don't believe this, then I don't know what to say to you. He that hears my word and believes on me, believes on him that sent me, that's the Father, has everlasting life. Not will be getting it, not is coming, has. So it does lead into my message of hope. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. This is spiritually speaking here. Your soul, when you become born again, and your spirit becomes one with God. Never, ever more to be broken apart from him. Now, my message is about hope. What is hope? What is the Bible taught? When we hear hope, when I grew up, hope was like a wishy-washy thing. I hope it's going to rain. I hope it was like you wished. It wasn't a very sure thing. It was a maybe. That's how I grew up thinking hope was. But the Bible does not explain hope that way. So let's, for example, if you would ask somebody if they're going to heaven, most likely, if he's a religious person, you will say, well, I hope so. I'm trying my best. Well, fortunately, your best will never be good enough. So you can never hope that you're going to heaven with the hope that you think hope is. Like Brother Dave in the past, many times in the past has shared about this one person who had left the colony, and he'd asked him if I'll do this in German, was du Lust, du Himmelkommst? And the guy would say, no, now du tust auch nicht. So to put it back into English, he asked this one guy, do you know that you're going to heaven? And the guy answered matter-of-factly from his point of view, no, and you don't know either. So he was so sure that you can't know that you're going to heaven. But the Bible is very clear on the subject. There's a scripture in German. I'll read it in German first, and before I do it in English. It says in 1 John 5:13. The German is so good on this verse here. It says, Soll es habe ich euch geschrieben, die ihr glaubet an den Namen des Sohnes Gottes, auf das ihr wisset. Wisset is like a very affirmative, a very true, you know. Das ihr wisset, dass ihr das ewige Leben habt. That means that you may know. In English, I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. That's hope. Hallelujah. That is hope in the one who is our hope, which does not make us ashamed. In Psalm 31, verse 24, out of the King James Version, it says, Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you that hope in the Lord. So that's our hope we have in the Lord. But who is our hope? God is our hope. Now, I'm going to read out of Romans 5, verse 1 to 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's hope. If you have that hope, you have the real deal. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. So last week, a few weeks ago, we had about tribulation. This is a tribulation here that everybody, if you're a human being, you will have tribulation. If you are a human being, you will have temptations. If you don't, you're either so far gone and can't be tempted that you're so infested with the lusts of this world, you can't be tempted anymore. Or you're dead. It's the only people who don't get tempted. So we do have tribulations, temptations, and all kinds of trials in this world. But going on with this verse here, but not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation works what? Patience, experience, and experience, hope. There's your hope again. And hope does what? It makes not ashamed. That's hope that I want, the hope I want. You will never be ashamed of this hope, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We are peculiar people because of the deposit that God has given us in our hearts when we got saved. You're all got that deposit that God is going to redeem one day. With that check is a good check. It is authenticated. It is certified as good as it can get by the world standard. This is, by heaven's standards, even better. It is sure. It's because the deposit is the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews 6, verse 11, it says, And we desire that every one of you show the same diligence to the full what? Assurance of hope unto the end. There's that hope again. That is not some vague I wish deal here. That is hope. Where the hope, this hope is like, it's believing in something you don't see with your physical eyes, but it's there. It's more sure and more real than you are sitting here. That's how real the spiritual is. Now going on to Hebrews 6, 13 to 19, verse 13 to 19. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, who did he swear by? Not by Abraham. He swore by himself, saying, Surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And that wasn't when he died. He obtained the promise when he was alive. And then it got sealed by circumcision. The promise was made to Abraham before circumcision, before he was authenticated as a Jew, so that the promise will be to all them that aren't Jewish, that aren't of the Jewish race, that includes us, the Gentiles. And he goes on to say, for men swear, verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. In other words, if you make an oath, it settles. The deal is settled. You have signed on the dotted line, it is done. And God did the signing and the swearing by himself. So this deal, this hope that he has given us is a done deal. The deal we cannot even break. It's impossible for us to break because we're not the one who made the oath. God made the oath. The only question is, have you been born again where that deposit was made by the Holy Spirit to make him a part of the family, to make you a part of the family? For wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto us the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. And again, this oath was made by himself, to himself, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible and still is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation. That means we have strong comfort that this is so. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So we have something to hope for. Which hope we have as what? As an anchor of the soul. What? Both sure and steadfast, which enters into that within the veil. And remember, when Jesus came, that veil was torn. So now we have freedom to go in and out and find pasture. So that's the hope the Bible talks about. Not this hope that you grew up, I wish. This hope that you have is starts with a bit of a blind faith in knowing, but as you grow in the Lord, you become it becomes more and more sure to your heart that this is for real. This is a thing that where Abraham said he's looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. It did not exist in this physical, but he knew by the hope that was set before him that it was there. So then I'll go back a little bit to this. I didn't give Brendan this scripture. This just popped up as I was making this message this morning. And it's worth putting in. There's a group of people that God will not impute their sins to. And it goes like this. David is the one who first wrote about it. In Romans 4:6-8, it's confirmed it. The Apostle Paul writing. Even as David also described the blessedness of man, of whom the Lord imputed righteousness without works. That means he gave you righteousness. And why did he give you righteousness? You declared and admitted that you don't have nothing to offer. And then God saw you were poor in spirit, and he made a deposit into your spirit by his Holy Spirit. Unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. And may I remind you that iniquities means anything that you have done intentionally. That's what an iniquity is. Are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Are your sins covered? You're born again, they are. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. Are you one of those? It doesn't say who will not sin. He will not impute your sin. If you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father through the Son. So if you do fall in sin, you are blessed because God will not impute this sin unto you. Am I saying you should go sin? No. You should do what you want to be doing, which is serving the Lord. If that has not been filtered into your mind when you became born again, if that attitude change did not happen to you, I would question whether you were born again, because the born again experience brought a conflict to my flesh, and the conflict is this, or to my body, the conflict is this: my spirit wants to do good, my flesh wants to do evil, and that conflict will not stop until you're out of this body. That will continue right till the bitter end. But I thank God he has given us victory through Jesus Christ our Lord over this. So with this, let the Lord bless you and impute unto you that righteousness that he gives to all them that trust in him. May the Lord bless you.
Hallelujah. All welcome here. How is my voice? Still the same? Me. Some of my son-in-law calls it Mickey Mouse. How many of you know who Mickey Mouse is? I should have planted him one. Anyway, we are the most fortunate. Like James was preaching, we're God's people. We have been born into this family, and we're there to stay. My father, when my mother gave birth to me, she's going to be my mother for keeps. He's going to be my father for keeps. 250,000 years ago, farther down the line, they will say, "Who was your dad?" "Shorty." Oh, that was Joe, by the way. His name, real name was Joe, but everybody called him Shorty. I wonder why. Anyway, we got some awesome stuff waiting for us. For you young people, get into the Word. Study it and get revelation. A lot of people study and don't have the revelation, because God wants us to know what's going to happen. People today are totally frazzled up here because they have no clue what's on ahead. Well, I've been teaching on the Antichrist, what he's going to do. Remember, the Antichrist cannot come until the one holding him back will be taken out of the way. I once asked a person, he was so concerned about going through the tribulation. I said, "Who are you waiting for, the Antichrist or the Lord Jesus Christ?" The Bible teaches, the Word teaches, we're supposed to wait for the imminent return of Jesus, not for the Antichrist. We, the salt of the earth, will be taken out of the way, and then the Antichrist will come. But at the end of the tribulation, when everything will be kind of over, the world will be such a mess, it will be basically uninhabitable. And then, Revelation chapter 19, I saw heaven open, behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him were called faithful and true, and he righteously does judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name, it says nobody knew but himself, but here it says, and his name was called the Word of God. Who? The Word of God has quite a few names for Jesus. If you study it, I'm not going to go into that, but you can study it for yourself if you want to do a little studying. And all the names have different meanings. What is good for, what he's doing, what he will do, that's what his name. His name is called the Word of God. In the beginning, that's John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That was in the beginning with God. So the Word, God says, is above my what? My name. How that figures, I don't know. But Jesus is above everything, it seems, for now. We're going to see how it'll turn out. I'm anxious to know. Okay, he's coming down out of heaven. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 14, and the armies that were in heaven followed him. Who are the armies? I'll get to that. With white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, with which he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. Again it says, and he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His wrath will come up in his face. His armies will follow him. They'll start a 1,000-year reign. There's one scripture says where the blood will flow to as high as a horse's bridle, that's about this high, for 200 miles. How many people will die? I don't have a clue. But it's going to be a slaughter. Those who reject God, many of them will die when Jesus comes back. They will not go into the 1,000-year reign. They will go straight into the pit. And with the pit, I don't mean the lake of fire. It's kind of a prison where people are held till judgment. And then they are going to be cast into the lake of fire. Now listen to who the armies that followed him. Let us be glad. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the supper, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. He's not the bride anymore. Now we're the bride. When he comes back, his wife has made herself ready. Hallelujah. There's been a wedding feast in those 7 years of tribulation where we're going to be connected, or how do I say, married to our Lord Jesus Christ, where we will become one. That's another sermon in itself, what that means. We becoming one with God. It's the Father. I'll give you a hint. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the bride. So you know what's in store for you. You're going to be co-workers in the kingdom of God. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in what? Fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. That's exactly what it was she said here. They came out of heaven in fine linen, white and clean. And here it says she was granted. She didn't earn it. She was granted that fine linen, clean and white. For that fine linen is our righteousness. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's going to be ours. That's our future. Amen. That is what the Word says, and the Word does not lie. Now let's go a little further. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Oh, what a futile effort that will be. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought wrought miracles before him, with which Jesus received them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped the image. These both were cast where? Alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. They were the first ones in there. Who's going to be the second one in there? Satan. It says he was thrown into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. And who's going to be in after that? Those who are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. It's going to be awesome to watch and awesome to see. We're going to look and we're going to see. Are we going to... I was listening. I want to throw something at you here. Are we going to remember our loved ones once we're in heaven, once this took place? And this preacher put it this way. He's been struggling at this for years and years. He said, do you remember somebody who hasn't been born? No, you don't. You don't know who wasn't born. Same thing with born again. You don't know. You're a spiritual being. You're in heaven. You don't know who's born again. Like, who's not been born again. You only know these who are born again, who are in your family. Think on those things, and it'll give you something to think about. That does make sense. I don't remember anybody who wasn't born in the flesh. Will I remember anybody who wasn't born in the spirit? Maybe not, according to the writer that wrote that. Anyways, the beast, the false prophets, they will be put into the lake of fire. And the kings of the earth and their armies, they will be put into a pit. Listen to this. I found this in Isaiah chapter 24, verse 19. Not only the kings and the armies of the world, it says the earth is utterly broken down, the earth is clean dissolved, the earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall be removed like a cottage. The transgression thereof will be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day. Now listen to this. The Lord shall punish the hosts of the high ones on high. Who are they? Those are the demonic realms. He will punish them together with the kings on the earth. They will be punished together. And those who accept the mark of the beast, they'll all be punished together. It's Satan and his hordes that are going to be down here on this earth to join the human armies to try to stop Jesus from coming back. And he, with the high ones on heaven, the kings of the earth, those that received the mark of the beast, those that followed Satan, they will be put down and they will be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in a pit and shall be shut up in prison. And after many days shall they be visited. After 1,000 years, God is going to bring judgment to there. In the meantime, they're in hell thinking of what lies ahead. We all know the story, how the books were opened. and those that were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They're the only ones that did not go into the lake of fire. So the question today, you over listening on the internet, is your name written in the Book of Life? I hope so. Sorry, that doesn't cut it. You should know now whether your name is written there. The Word of God is what tells you when your name is written there. It tells us these things. James quoted the scripture. These things have I written unto you that you may know, not hope for, not wish for, but know that you have eternal life. So each and every one here and those on the internet, you do not fool around with that question. Get to know whether your name is written in heaven. You need to know for you to rejoice. You need to know for you to be an effective worker for God. Because if you don't know that you're going to heaven, how can you want to tell people about Jesus if you yourself are not sure of what's going to happen to you? When God opened my eyes to that truth, right almost when I became born again, I knew that I was a child of God. I could have given my head. I left house, home, people, brothers and sister for the sake of Christ. Can we all do that today? If we question ourselves deeply, can we leave everything behind to follow Christ? We may be challenged one day, maybe not, I hope not. But God wants to know your heart. He said to one guy, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. That one guy had his idols in his heart. And God told him to give them up. He would not do it, for he had many possessions. How many idols are keeping you from knowing that you belong to God? It's up to each and every one of you. So open your heart to these scriptures, because these scriptures are coming true. We're going to experience them, and there's not going to be one here that says, we did not know. And those on the internet, be warned, God could come at any moment. You don't look for the Antichrist, and then I'll turn to Jesus. No, he could come at any moment. You could die today even. Jesus, God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, that you shall also reap. So reap the good things in life. Reap the Word of God so it can produce fruit and revelation in you. Let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing. Amen.